I had a dream this morning. I call it a night watch. And what happened in this night, in the night watch, the Spirit of the Lord revealed to me a large number of people in the church waiting for me to minister to them. My ministry of help seemed to turn into the ministry of hindrance. One thing I needed a comb. I needed a comb, and my shoes were somewhere else. I needed my shoes. Undoubtedly, I was barefooted. It seemed like I didn't have the proper shoes on, and no one would go get them. Another man began to preach. That's sort of like your dream. Another man began to preach, but the people were getting the same type of man-made preaching. Most of the people couldn't tell the difference between my ministry and his tradition of ministry. I needed a hair comb. A young man gave me one, but it seemed like he wanted it right back. There was a lot of laughing in the church because many didn't know the difference between the flesh and the spirit. And so that dream disturbed me because when I got up in it this morning, the Lord, Holy Spirit started interpreting it to me, the dream. It's the whole body of Christ in this predicament of the bishophood that denominational churches have developed has smothered the people, and the people are thinking so small of themselves now. All they do is come to be ministered to. They're not doing no ministry. And so the whole package is blocked. The package of joy, walking close to the God, health, finances, peace, more revelation, all blocked because what have happened, the bishop prick is taking all the credit, and the people who are coming, they do not know their job. They don't know what they're supposed to be doing. So they're living a life of immaturity and misery because they got, what Jeremiah says, the fire shut up in my bone. They got some things shut up in them, including you all. Got some things shut up in you because the average person don't understand where the pulpit is. I'm going to give you a revelation where the pulpit is. The pulpit is the whole world. The world is your pulpit. And see, so we think about this pulpit. We come here and sit, now I give you a good message, and you get it, and you go home and take care of your family. That's it. And so that is where we're missing the blessing that God want to place on us. There's a more blessing he want to place on us. But we're too busy taking care of ourselves. And we're not busy enough to take a commission from God and make it our own. These people have no business, you're late, these people have no business being at peace. They have no business being at peace in this subdivision around here. I don't care what they say. I don't care what they say. They don't like church. They have no business having no peace. For lack of a better word, we need to be like a beast, the lion. A line, without me telling you, swarming that place, breaking them yokes, giving them to see the reality of why God placed them in this area. Okay? Now, you got denomination, you got religion, you got strong hopes on them, but there shouldn't be Ladue Live, Pelican Point, none of those places should have no peace. We should be like Jehovah Witnesses, telling them about Jesus. Most of them probably not saved. They go to church, but they're probably not saved. This whole area needs to be flooded out with people who know what they're doing, won't keep their mouth shut, and be all you gotta do is, I've been around these boys many times. They've been around a person 3 or 4 days. I come down and get all them saved. Why? It didn't happen to Ronald, it happened to Jesse. It didn't happen more time. You've been around the people, and I come right up there and get them saved. What happened? You didn't say nothing. See, you didn't say nothing. So I'm going to give you a way to change that in your life as a nucleus in this church. I'm going to train the church. Let me see. Yeah, I read Best Paul's dream. Ronna had a dream. I didn't get the interpretation for a time. But let's go back to Florida. I had another dream. No, I had an open vision sitting in a foyer waiting on my wife. I was going to preach. And I saw myself at an elder age, over 90, ministering to minister because there's a need. And I saw myself get around by my many ministers, and I was teaching them. And some of the stuff I'm talking about this morning was in that format. We are trained to be preached to, be taught, but we're not trained to be sensitive like a cock gun. Anywhere we go, hairdresser, anywhere we go, supermarket, anywhere we go, ready to do what God have called us to do. And so I saw that dream, and then Ronald come tell me the dream he saw. He saw a lot of people in the church, and I was there, and he was there, and a 91-year-old man was there. And Ronald said, I left. And the 91-year-old man ministered, and actually couldn't minister. He just didn't. Ronald said he didn't say nothing. So we talked about it a few minutes, and I thought it was. And when I, 2 or 3 days, the Lord said, that was you. You shouldn't have left. That was you at the same age of that man. But you were supposed to be ministering, but you left too early. And so that was another time showing me I'd be up in age, still ministering the word of God. This vision is the same thing. But this vision include joy unspeakable and full of glory is a continuous joy. It never leaves you. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Joy in the Holy Ghost is not a setting. Joy in the Holy Ghost is when something in your soul, the emotion, and thing not going right, you still got it. Joy in the Holy Ghost. You can stir up the gift and you can stir it up. But you're not going to be able to do it because we have been so long taught improperly as a whole in the body of Christ. And so evangelism, and you always ready to evangelize, never evangelize, compel them to come. One thing happened, and I'm not talking about this church going, these seats. Fred Price, in his early days, his church stayed full because his people were full, and they would bring families. You got to hear this man preach. You got one time. Come go with me one time. But the church now, all we do is try to get our little group up and come to church, and we're not even thinking about that. One of the problems, saints, we need to be sensitive to that. Some of the scripture I gave this morning is going to help you to be more sensitive, and it's going to raise all the value of your life up. The church value, the life of the church, of the person sitting in the pew now is real low because they think it's all up here. And that's why you have so many church pit and people leave and go because they're looking for a pulpit. They're looking for this pulpit. And they don't know that I had 20 or 30 pulpits before I came here for many years. Rest home, prison, corner street, supermarket, any function I went to, that was my pulpit. I was ready to minister at a drop of the hat. And so it took a lot of pulpit to get to this pulpit. Are you following me? And so I want you to write in your note, understanding the mysteries of priesthood. Understanding the mystery of the priesthood of the believer. Now, if you catch that, and if I get a word of life to catch it, the priesthood of the believer. To understand that, 1 Peter 2, 2:9. We'll read that. One of y'all read that for me. 1 Peter 2:9. The priesthood, I'm going to read behind you, so read to a quotation mark, and then after I say it, you say it again. We're going to read. 1 Peter 2:9. Is that about the royal priesthood? Anybody there yet? One of the mysteries, that's it? One of the mysteries of your life is your priesthood. And if someone robbed you of that, that you are priest, you have a priesthood as a believer. You're almost no good to God. Because that's something. Go ahead and read it. All right, you're a chosen generation. Okay, so you're chosen for something. Notice that you're chosen. And what he's going into, if you're not functioning in what you're chosen for, you're no good to me. I'm not talking to me, I'm talking to God. See, I can't give you any more because I can't trust you. Even what you have now, you're going to something else. I mean, I'm not talking to you personally, I'm just talking about the whole church. And we that's what we got to pray about this morning. They don't know that they're chosen for priesthood. Now, I think little dude witness a lot. And you get unexcited because people are not excited when you win people to Christ. But there's twofold, winning people to Christ and bringing people where you know you're getting it at. That's two important things. Go ahead. A royal priesthood. So now, the reason they call it royal, because you have the highest priesthood that ever exists. It's a kingdom priesthood. Because you're designed by God when you're born again to function in kingdom principles, kingdom power. You see? Go ahead. A holy nation, get you on. A holy nation. A peculiar people. That you should show forth the praise of him who called you out of darkness into marvelous light. So the one of the ways to show forth is that you had to share it. I ask you a question, you don't have to answer me. But I don't. My family do. A lot of them live a routine life. Routine life is a life, get up in the morning, make sure I make it pretty good, pray a little prayer, do my 8 o'clock prayer. I got to be there because they want me to be there. But it's nothing refreshing. There's no fresh assignment. The life is, you know, Lord, what would you have me to do? And when that happened, when you make that opening in the morning, he going to see to you, run into something to do. And that's going to increase everything in your life, increase your awareness of him. But then he go to opening in the blessing vault. Because those who do what he tells them to do, you see, most time people want God for what they can get, not what they can do. And that's a major problem there with the church at large. So as a priest, one of the greatest ways of showing forth the praises of God is witnessing. And witnessing cannot be like a diet. You start out, you're real strong, you got all your paperwork, you got your pills. I mean, you're going with it. 2 months later, you don't know where that stuff at. And that's what the enemy wants. He want witnesses to turn into a flesh message. I do it when I get ready. But it's your priesthood is a lifetime, watch what I say now, a lifetime mantling. You have a mantle for this. And if you don't use it, it will not be a mantle, it'll just be a mess. So that scripture is to get you to understand that you're not just a regular person. You are a priest. See, now when I say a priest, people think about somebody in a long black gown with a white collar around their neck, or think about me in the pulpit as an apostle and a prophet and a pastor, et cetera. But that's not so. God opened opportunities for you every day. I've seen God. I mean, you say, well, I'm on the job. I mean, I can't. He sent them to you. God stopped and said, do you know where Darrow is? You just tell him where Darrow is. But he wasn't looking for Darrow. God had him stop here for you on your job to have the opportunity to tell him some truck drivers come in. A truck driver couldn't come in wind out without me. I left out my apartment, my department to go catch him on somewhere else. Every day, I was on it. Every day, every day. The only thing pulled me out of something when I got in ministry, I knew I had to shift because God had put me in another place, but I still do it. I still do it. Two guys were building my theater a lot a couple of months back. You know, I walk around them. All of a sudden, the Lord said, now it's time. I don't know who was in there with me. Anybody was in there with me? Now it's time. Leroy Jr. Now it's time. Got them both saved. Just like that. And I could do it all day long. You could do it all day long. And that's why many times you're not happy. Because you're not walking in your... You're trying to fulfill it with other things, but there's nothing else can fulfill your priesthood. You got to recognize you're a priest, and you cannot let these bishops smother you in them poor people with these different garments on like you just somebody got to come listen to them. All right? Second thing is, so that priesthood is 1 Peter 2:9. The second thing is, and this is one that the Lord told me this morning, I said, wow. It comes out of the arm of God. Ephesians 6:15, that your feet should be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So if my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, all right, y'all late. If my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, at all time, that gospel is ready to go. Anywhere you go. See, actually, how we've been taught, our feet is not shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace because we got all, everything else on our mind most of the time beside the gospel. It must be first. It must be at all time. Every step you take, everywhere you are, you must be sensitive to the Holy Spirit that my feet is shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In other words, I'm ready. You remember, go back to Peter 2:9. He said the last thing, show forth the praises of him. You see that 1 Peter 2:9? What he said then, show forth? All right, so he called, he said, you're saved. See, he saves you. He saves you to get other people saved. And so we show forth the praises by ministering to people as a priest. You're a priest. See, and you don't, if you don't have that concept, my goodness, I feel the power of God. If you don't have that concept, you're just a person coming to hear the preacher. But you're a priest. And then when you do that, your life going to take on another stand. And I tell you, the onrush and the flood that's coming in from the social media and the social world will catch most Christians. Because they're not priests. They don't know they're priests. And so when you get your priorities mixed up, everything else mixed up, your family, your finances, your health, your joy, your peace, because you're designed to prioritize spiritual things. And if spirit thinks your priority, the first thing you think about when you get up in the morning, what I'm going to do for God. I promise you, all done is to leave you. I promise you, you will never have to pray for nothing again for your personal life. It just not showing up. See, all the time we're praying about, Lord, I need this. I need you to do this for me. I need you to do that for me. When you're busy for him in your priesthood and your feet is shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace as part of your armor, you're always on his job. You're always doing his thing. Now, I look odd because I'm right. And so the church can't see this. But I took on my priesthood. When I got saved, I took on my priesthood and never turned it, I never put it down. So, you know, you can say, man, pastor always studied, daddy always studied, always doing it. And, you know, but you need to understand what I'm saying. Number one, we understand the mystery of the priesthood of the believer. Number one, the priest. Number two, the preparation of the gospel of peace. Then Ephesians 6:15. You have to have your feet shod Not with them new tennis you want. Cost $200 or $300. You have to know your feet is the preparation of the gospel feet. I have worn shoes cost $1,500. Shoe. But they're not as expensive as the gospel peace. Look at Ephesians 4:16. See if you there. See if you can say, honestly stand up and say, I'm doing this. And these things overlap, because one of the reasons you can't say if you I'm doing this is because the other two call you a lie. If you're not doing the first two, you jump up and say, yeah, I'm doing this. I'm helping in a minute. No, you're lying. Because the question is, what are you doing with your private time? This is a requirement here. You're getting paid. But you, let's say, what you do with your free time. You see, it has to be in you. If it's not in you, you're not going to ever enjoy the kingdom. You're not going to ever be ignited all the time, excited, because you're doing things routinely, not by revelation. You follow me? And I had a dream this morning. I know some of y'all got your lid. I had a dream this morning of how the church is so sad, because I was telling about Pelican Point and these places. You all get taught so much, y'all had to have them people on places on fire. I don't care if they reject you. Jesus will reject it. Rejection don't mean you back off. Because if you back off, if you reject it, you self-righteous. Because people automatically going to reject you when they don't understand you. You got to make them understand who you are and what you got to offer to them. You can't say, I don't care. You can't say, the hell with them then. You can't do that. The Lord planted those people here for a reason. And we, just us, if it's just us, not the whole congregation, but I'm going to teach the whole congregation. If we understand our priesthood, we understand that our feet should always be, if we go in the store, if we get up, sharp with the preparation of God's people. Nothing else should be in priority in our mind, not even what we're going to shop for. Okay? Now, this priest, preparation of God's people, and I wrote the word part, because in this verse it says every part, P-A-R-T. Are you playing your part in this? And so Ephesians 4:16 says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. That's you. Maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The body is the church. Every joint, every part. When you're taught proper, that's what I'm doing right now. See, as a pastor, apostle, prophet, I'm teaching you properly. So just you as a remnant can now be more sensitive to your moment. Your moment is coming all the time. Don't be afraid. That's what the Holy Spirit, that's what you're anointed for. We'll find a voice to tell you why you don't have to be afraid in a few minutes. But be open to the Holy Spirit at all times. A phone call might come. You answer the phone. And all of a sudden the Lord says, witness to this person. They're really not saved. But if you're not listening for that, you're just going to go on routine business. All right, how many you want? See what I'm saying? All right, now. So every joint is not supplying in the church because of the lack of the understanding of the priesthood, the preparation of the gospel, the peace. That's why they're not. They don't know that. They really don't. The church been tuned in to teaching sections, seminars, preaching, a whole lot of. The church really taking care of herself. They have, different auxiliaries, different meeting among themselves. That's all they think about it. The church think about building their house and getting their car and finishing their life. And Lord, good to me, and a blessing coming. And they don't know they got the veil cut off. The Lord bless them who go. Them who stay, they get trinkets, but the one who go get the blessing. and go. That don't mean you have to leave your house. That don't mean you have to go to Africa. Just go to Gonzales. And you know, I mean, in other words, you don't have to have a design plan to do this. This is just part of your life. You got to open your mouth. Whatever you have learned, whatever you know about the spirit world, you got to be ready to share it. And the more you share it, that's why Jesus said, deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. Because when all y'all living pretty good, when you're living like that, you're not a pusher. You're not a drug pusher. Pushes drug. You know. I can't say it like that. In the life of this ministry, more than one time, this auditorium, enough people come here to fill this auditorium. In other words, not at one time, but in and out. This thing should be jam-packed every Sunday. And the reason it's not is because of the lay person. They're not doing their job. They look at me thinking my preaching going to draw all them people. My preaching going to draw all them people because some of them don't need to even know what I'm preaching. But you know, back to Fred Price Church, that's why I stayed so full. Because a man would tell a family, they get wild. I said, man, you need to come here this. Come one Sunday with me. So Sunday I might put it out that each person try to get a family, and when they come, I want to know who brought them and try to get this word into people, because these people are smothering around here and they're not getting it. So 4:16, now, Mark 16:15. When the commission was given, many think it was just given to the apostles. But that commission is to all of us. Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, every day. Not in no evangelism campaign. It's a lifestyle that you be ready to preach. What do you mean preach? Well, when you minister in the gospel, some of y'all don't never minister the gospel. You'll never do it to nobody. That's sad. That's selfish. But this is the way you've been trained. I haven't pushed it enough. You know, every now and then I'll get, say, go, y'all need to go. But all my preaching is saying that you have the ability back to your priesthood, you see. So he said, preach. Everywhere you go, be ready to preach. Be ready to tell somebody about Jesus. Now the Lord is well pleased with this morning. That's why he gave me that dream last night. See. And then look at Acts 1:3. Jesus' subject matter was things pertaining to the kingdom. His subject matter was not a whole lot of stuff we're talking about. He said when he talked to his disciples for the last time, he dealt with them with things pertaining to the kingdom. Come on now, take a signal. What are you doing? I mean, all through the day. What are you doing? I'm not talking about Bible reading now. I'm not talking about prayer. I'm talking about you being aware that you're a kingdom citizen and your priority in your life is seek ye first the kingdom. And seek ye first the kingdom doesn't mean you just seeking the kingdom. It's seeking kingdom priority in the lives of people God put in your way for you to tell them about it. See, all this stuff I preach go to waste most of the time. I just dug hours and hours and hours and hours. People hear it, they stand up. I might make all them tell sit down Sunday. Don't stand up. They standing up. Who you brought with you? Who you witness to this week? They want stuff. They want a car. God, give me all that stuff. You know, I come here on a Porsche this morning. I can come here tomorrow morning in the Maserati I bought. I come next morning in Rolls Royce. I come next morning in a Jaguar. This is stuff, man. That stuff out there is free. That stuff, all the stuff in the world for you is free. And what I mean by free is God will supply you with what it takes to get it. You see what I'm saying? But he wants you more sensitive to what he wants than what you want. That's all I've done over the years. That's all my kids have watched me do. And they watch, and they roll with me. Sometimes I'm scared because they're rising with me, and but they got to be sensitive to how I got there so they can rise themselves, begin to rise themselves. So that pertained to the kingdom, 1:3, and then he gave the power in Acts 1:8. He gave the power to do it. He was talking to you. Now, we started as a priest, went to the preparation of the gospel of peace, every part doing their part, preaching the gospel, which is include witnessing, pertaining to the kingdom of God, or to the kingdom, is all Jesus concerned about, and power to do it. Now, let's go back to two simple verses. Matthew 6:33. That's the clue to your life right there. That's the clue to everything you desire, everything you want. One of the meaning of the emblem on this last cardboard, the Maserati, is too much is not enough. That's the way the world thinks. When we get in a socket properly, a lot of your prayer time gonna go to something else. Because you never had to pray about it. I never pray about stuff. I see it and go get it. Or if somebody bring it to me. Just to play with. See. Now, one of the major problems because of this is you don't know how spiritual things really work. You think you know. Spiritual things work by faith and focus. Faith and focus. I'm going to break it down for you. Faith is what it takes to please God, right? You got Hebrews 11:1, Hebrews 11:6. What it takes to please God. The reason a lot of our faith is not working, we don't have to focus. Focus is your thinking. If your faith and your mind are not in alignment, you're out of here. Satan got you. That's why scripture says, Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, be you transformed, that you may prove what that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see that? Your soul is blocking you from being happy. Your soul is blocking you from being complete. Your soul is blocking you. Your mind is in your soul. And when you praying for something, and your mind is not into it, or your soul is not into it, you can't get it. Faith. No. Renew. Because that soul is sitting there with your mind, your conscience, your will, your desire. Even Mark 11:24. Therefore, I say unto you, what things have you desire when you pray? Believe that you receive them, you shall have them. That desire is a mind thing. It's a renewed mind situation. Your desire is in your mind. And there's a way God gave you through Hebrews 4:12. He said, the word of God is quick, alive. The word of God is quick, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joint and the marrow. Look what he said at the end of the verse. Get the verse. Look what he said at the end of the verse. Discerning the intent and thought of the heart, or discerning the intent and thought of the mind which run the soul. So the discerner of the intent and the thought of the soul. So if your soul has not been renewed to think like God, your faith not going to work. You see the last part of the verse, Hebrews 4:12? Huh? See, only the word of God can do that. So discern. Look at that word discern. That ain't on the surface, baby. You got to dig. You got the Holy Spirit to take you in there. You see, there's nothing you can do scholarly. There's nothing you can do scientifically. It has to be the Holy Spirit take you down there. What's on my mind? I got my faith working here, but what's on my mind? And I can go on and on the rest of the day, the rest of this week. We can leave you on Friday. I can talk to you about this. Go back to Mark 11:24. This is a verse that taught us in the word of faith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. That word desire right there. That word desire, talking about your soul. Talking about what you think. Talking about your mind. See. So if your spirit and your mind is not in agreement on the same thing, you're going to scuffle. You're going to suffer. And so another thing that happened is, a lot of time when we're getting ministered to, we think we got it made. So we look at the other fellow, you don't know what I know. And you ain't doing a damn thing. You understand? You held more accountable than the other fellow. Because the other fellow's stupid. You're not stupid. I mean, it don't take a genius to figure this thing out, you know what I'm saying? But since the Lord gave me this dream, we're in this big auditorium, big church. I don't have no shoes. I don't have the right shoes on. I need a comb. And these people who minister to me in the ministry of help turned from a minister of help to a minister of hindrance. The boy wanted his comb right back. Him and his wife down there. I know who he was. He wanted his comb back. I ain't had to comb no more in a second. I'm just trying to comb my nappy head. And then the rest of them, none of them go look for my shoes. And the Lord waiting on me to go up there. And that's how the minister of help can hinder you if they don't know what they're supposed to be doing. So those voices, I'll probably talk to you more about it. But understand the mystery of the priesthood. I got to get into this church. I don't know when the Lord, what the Lord wants me to do. I just got... These people are good people. You all are good people, but you all are just trying. Y'all running your tail by a clock, trying to get your own time. It's sad. You do that in the secular stuff. This stuff like this, you early, man. You're excited. It's God. You know. You make yourself. Make myself move. You know. Hey, when 8 o'clock come, y'all need to be sitting here waiting. I don't need y'all bringing through the door trying to sign that little pad and put a time on it. Pads shouldn't even be there. But you see why it's there. Just try to train you. That's all I'm trying to train you, to get you to see. Watch what I say. This job is not your source. That check you get, that is not your source. God wants you to have so much more. He ain't going to give it to you. He ain't going to let you get it. Because you're too complacent with the little check you're getting now. You're too satisfied. You know what I'm saying? Huh? It's God's desire. Yeah, go there. Let's go there. We need to go there. That all of his children be rich. God don't care. God will have you driving the car you want, live in the house you want, do it. He just do it. But if you know you're in ninth grade, 10th grade looking in the face, you fail the test. You go ninth again. Or you go to 10th stupid because you ain't ready for 10th grade. Somebody just let you by. You know what I'm saying? So you all pray about that. We're going to pray. It's 8:39, but we're going to pray till 9 o'clock about these things, looking at these verses. And then y'all getting paid to pray and getting paid to change your life to hear these things. It's so important that God love you that much. Then y'all connected. And everything on me belong to you all. My anointing, everything, y'all can just grab and get it and take it and go and run with it. You got a right to it. You know, I'm not talking about being a flunky for me. No, that's not what I want. But if I tell you to do something, man, I'll come check it. I'm coming to check it. I got a right to ask you a question. Why you didn't think about this? You know, where Larry at this morning? Call him, ask him where he at. I know where Shauna, she got all them children. Deidre pregnant, got two kids and made it here. It's went on time, but she made it. I know Chantel is dealing with something. But Larry, he had beat them guys, Buck? That might be what time them guys supposed to come? Well, that's where he at. That's probably where he at. That's probably where he at. I just look out there and saw him. I didn't want him to miss this message, you know. I guess we had to give him a tape or something so they can hear all Chantel and Shauna and Larry so they could be in tune to this. Father, we just thank you this morning for bringing us into the reality of priesthood, that every man and woman of God in the body of Christ has a raw priesthood. And I know that what that priesthood means, acting out the assignment of ministering to people. Staff here, we're talking about these things. We looked at various scriptures to verify how a priesthood should work. With the gospel, with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Spirit in Acts 1:8. So we laid it out here as you gave it to us, and we have seen in two dreams multitude of people who need to be ministered to. And I know you wasn't only talking about the inside of a building. You were talking about at large. Help us to understand that resistance means come forward. We are to fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, not only for ourselves, for as many as you give us the opportunity to bring it forth. I know you're not acting up to be a pest to people, but be sensitive to our spirit. Don't just think natural when you're around people, that the Spirit of God can give us the wisdom of what to say and what not to say, when to speak and when not to speak. There are times, Father, we know we don't supposed to say nothing to nobody. But we thank you this morning as we pray in the Spirit, we will listen to instruction by the Holy Ghost, interpretation. Give us a word sometimes. Sometimes you give us three words. Sometimes you give us a sentence. Sometimes you give us a paragraph. Whatever way, we accept it. We're in your presence. We need your help. These men and women that on the sound of my voice, you have connected them to this commission, connected them to this vision. We're thankful for each one of them and their families, and that this will be a new beginning in our lives as we listen to the Holy Spirit. All we have to do is listen to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has one aim. That's to please you. He anoint us to be a part of this. So as we pray this few moments this morning, we pray for Word of Life Christian Center, especially this church. We know we've got to reach out to other churches. May they spread like wildfire apostolically. May it begin to touch other leaders, other churches, as we assemble here to pray about being about, as Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. Now, Father, I know that's a vast statement there, and it's applicable to us this morning to come to the concept we must be about your business. Each person on the sound of my voice, I cannot talk to their flesh. I cannot talk to their unrenewed mind. But I'm asking the Holy Spirit to synchronize this thing where they understand it and where the bliss and the peace and the joy and the happiness can become real in their life without the routine, without letting other things regulate their life and be more important than what you want them to do. I know it's happened to us all. It's trying to happen. We can't let it happen. By faith and by force and by focus, we have to let what you done want to happen in our life while we're here. Life is like a vapor. Here for a little while, soon. It passed away, James said. And it's true. no matter if we live 120, it's still a vapor. And so we know you want us to have peace, enjoy life, but the best way to enjoy life is to take your part on first. So just help us as we pray this morning, in Jesus' name. Prior to find anything written about the ministry of the apostle, the teaching of most denominations, or even to deny their existence. When there was any teaching, it was limited to the recognition of the 12 apostles of the Lamb and of the apostle Paul, who was chosen by the Holy Spirit to replace the traitor Judas. Today there are many books being written on the subject of modern day apostles. One of the most puzzling things to me is the lack of literature on the apostle function that impact ministry structure. You see why? See why I'm pushing so much? That gift. See, this, what we talked about this morning, this is let me read this statement again. One of the most puzzling things to me is the lack of literature on the apostle function that impacts ministry structure. See, so a lot of things that he told Jeremiah, Jeremiah 1, what, 3, 1, tear down, rebuild, plant. You see what I'm saying? It's nice to know that they are apostles, but what happened after they show up? What should we as believers expect to see? In this study, I want to capture the apostolic equipping dimension. That's a powerful statement there, because our job is to equip the saint, and the saint been ill-equipped because the apostle been left out. All right? They got a pastor, you know, and they all, but that apostle need putting that cutting edge, and that prophet putting that cutting edge on that pastor. All right? So in this study, I want to capture the apostolic equipping dimension. If an apostle is a reformer, then it is, now, reformer, you see that? If an apostle is a reformer, then it is safe to assume that he would also be an instrument of change. See? Instrument of change. This environment of change is the apostolic dimension. But what then would be that change? Could we expect a change in our orientation of ministry? And how every believer fit into it? That's what I did this morning. To focus on information about an apostle and not embrace the ministry of an apostle is vanity. In his book, we will explore some of the changes that were being introduced by that apostolic spirit. We will also discover the epic struggle of the apostolic call, of the apostle calling, to give the ministry back to the ordinary believer. What I did this morning, put the ministry back where? In your hand. There's a lesson here to study, Junior, about the bishop. To the bishops that made themselves so big, everybody looking at them, just come there and let them preach to them, and they go on home. But see, the epic struggle, EPIC struggle of the apostle calling to give the ministry back to the ordinary believer. Wow. These people rise up Sunday instead of go home and just eat and go to sleep and wait till Wednesday, they'll be in the ministry. So we will discover that as we enter the apostolic equipping dimension, our perception of ministry changes. The word informed us that the time just before the return of the Lord will be filled with reformation and restoration. Therefore, we can expect Jesus' church to be set in order and brought back to its normal condition. This book is about the equipping of every believer to do the work of the ministry and to bring the ordinary Christian back to an understanding of his position of authority as a believer. It's also to explore the depth of an effective, fervent prayer life and to reveal that our God is the God of effective strategies. Jesus is building stronghold churches that are filled with strong, empowered, and this next word is very important, it's a military word, deployed believer. That means they sent out. These believers are actively being prepared to be sent to reach the end time harvest. You know, that's all the Lord concerned about. The Lord ain't concerned about your house so much. You get a harvest, the end time harvest. So in the following pages, let's enter the apostolic equipping dimension. So what it is, the ministry has been taken out of the people's hand. And the people looking to the minister instead of doing ministry. People want to be ministered to, but they don't want ministry. My people are destroyed for lack of ignorance. And so when the apostolic died off the scene in the mind of the church, that's when the church become an association, a gathering, festivities, different days,